Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Come on.
Opening night for your favorite basketball team as they are taking on the Orlando Magic. Pat Riley woke up today in his silk bathrobe, no pants on, opened up the windows to his balcony, took a look at that beautiful ocean, took in a big whiff of that salty air, and realized it's a new day.
Is he not making the trip to Orlando?
No, God, no. No. Pat Riley doesn't go to Orlando. What, are you crazy?
Even if he was, he would just, you know, have like a private
Orlando
jet take him up today.
Yeah, he could still make it there between now and game time. So, yeah, he could still wake up in his balcony.
No need.
So, no boxers for Riles? Like, he sleeps in the nude?
Nude. Especially when it's the next day is the start of the NBA season.
Is that so he can do the rollover?
Sans pants.
That he can do the
sans pants for old Riles.
But he has the robe by the bedside.
Get to today's code word. It's planet. Text planet to 72881.
This song had nothing to do with it?
Nope. Today's show has no theme. Today's song has no theme.
Oh, like all the other shows we do?
Well, Pat Riley's on a different planet.
No. Jesus. Minus one.
Robbie, we have been doing the show for a minute and 30 seconds, and already you come hammering in with some hot garbage.
I won't allow this anger today on heat opening night.
There's going to be some anger.
Text planet to 72881.
Wait till I get to the breaking news.
It's brought to you by Gunther Mazda. Car buying done your way. You got to get to Gunther. National contest message and data. It's by Don't Text and Drive. All right. Let's get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
All right, there's a plethora of headlines, boys, so let me just jam through it, okay? It is opening night for your Miami Heat. Game time, 7 o'clock up in Orlando. That means 6 o'clock is when Tommy Tighe and the Jonathan Zaslow have our first pregame show of the regular season of the year tonight. 6 o'clock right here in your flagship station.
Why did you say
the
Jonathan Zaslow?
I don't know. AM 790 FM 143.
So now he's on the same level as the Ohio State?
Well, he's going to be dribbling a basketball for 13 miles to help cure cancer. How's that going to work down the 836?
I respect Zaslow, doing something for cancer.
Yeah.
Or for curing cancer.
If you want to know more about this, you go to theticketmiami.com.
I respect the idea.
Yeah, but.
However.
Why 13 miles?
Because that's the amount of miles it is from the Miami Cancer Institute to the American Airlines Arena.
Yeah,
so he's going to do the morning show, then he's going to get out to the Miami Cancer Institute in Kendall, and then start dribbling a basketball and hope to make it back to the American Airlines Arena by the time game time is, because he has to do the pregame show. It's 13 miles.
Robbie, I think we can take this opportunity and get some side bets.
Some side action.
Well,
Like the Miami Cancer Institute is being great, and they're great partners. And they're saying they're handling all the logistics and getting all the appropriate, paperwork done, and also security and whatnot. But I'm just it's not an easy either. He's going down.
Get off my television.
Is he going to be dribbling?
Did you just throw
something? Dribbling like when they swim across the English Channel and they have boats along the side?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be like a pace car. I don't know if.
Pace.
I don't know if he's going like Kendall Drive to US 1.
They need to have a whole squadron,
right,
of those little carts that are in Publix.
Is he going?
Because that's how fast he's going to be going.
Is he going NBA ball or is he going street ball?
NBA ball.
It's got to be. I think it's a.
It's going to show out. It's 13 gonna
be,
miles.
It's
going to
be
it?
Official no. heat ball.
One bad bounce of his foot and like, it goes under the street.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like Zaz got a wicked crossover.
I'm surprised corporate and legal signed off on this because there's a good chance that Zazzo doesn't make it to the arena.
Yeah, listen, you say you're doing something to benefit cancer. It's kind of hard for them to come back at night.
I admire his moxie. I'm worried.
No, here. We really appreciate the fact that he's putting himself out there.
Sure.
And doing stuff.
Yeah.
And all for the cause.
Amazing.
Can I say that?
The question that everyone has with a guy who not known as a gym rat.
No. Definitely not.
13 miles.
Dribbling a basketball.
He's the rarest.
I would be inclined to say, he might not make it if he was just walking.
Do you think Tommy Tighe should be ready to host the local portion of the pregame show?
He's the rare white non-gym rat.
I mean, think about it.
Are we going to get him like some...
we're going to get him some support.
Someone needs to... I mean, we need to like...
I even feel like dribbling for 13 miles. Like, I feel like it's going to hurt your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can he dribble with his left hand? He's got to have to switch because otherwise his arm's going to fall off.
Zazzle, not the biggest legs in the world. And that's coming from me.
Can he even walk 13 miles? I can walk.
That's what I'm saying. Here, I'm thinking, if we went out on 441.
Right. Well, we wouldn't do that.
And just dribbled down to 199th. Still had the basketball, we'd be tired. Because you might get jacked. but I'm saying, so I would probably have to do it.
Why is that?
Because people. Like, just saying. I got a better chance of surviving than...
Like if I was doing it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
should we like join him at one point and just like go like half a mile?
Do we want to make this a passing of the torch? And like
listen,
somebody
no, goes, no, no, he's gotta do it, but I say like can we this... we'll join him as a symbolic showing of support in the midst of the walk.
Listen. I'm all for this cause, okay? My wife recently dealing with cancer. Luckily, it's going well for her. So this, I'm all about this cause, but I am not about to get hit by a car on the 836.
Wait,
there's no way he's going to the 836. Yeah, he's got to go side streets.
On 836.
Side streets.
First of all, you have to understand this.
What's he going to go through Westchester?
He's on a car. He's going to gain more speed on an expressway. He's going to be walking either way. Why would you go on 836?
Nobody is going to be moving fast enough.
No, the way he'd probably have to go, because I actually did this drive today.
Kendall Drive to US 1.
Yeah, exactly. He'd have to go Kendall Drive, US 1, take US 1 all the way to the arena. That's the way he's going to have to go. That ain't 13 miles, is it? Is that longer?
That's what I'm saying. Is I think that might be longer because that's like not direct.
Yeah, but you don't die.
Bro, have you seen the streets down here?
I don't care. Because
there's lights.
Have you seen the streets down here?
The
intersection of Kendall and US 1 as it is a mayhem.
I don't care. That US 1 by University of Miami is like a parking lot. So at least you know people are going to be going bumper to bumper.
Do you think anyone, seriously, down here, they're going to see some balding Jew dribbling a basketball on the side of the road? You think someone's just going to be like, oh, nothing to see there?
No, like I'm sure he's got to have some bodyguards. You gotta have somebody with him, like with a scooter next to him or something.
I told you. Just have like six people surrounding him.
It's like the Tour de France.
And those little scooters.
This is the Tour de France.
Paul Blart. The Segways.
No, they can't go slow enough.
All right. We got a lot of news to get to. Tonight, Heat, Magic, Wayne Ellington, Deion Waiters, Justice Winslow, James Johnson, probably not playing.
That's cool.
Why does every year start like this?
I don't know, man.
When was the last time they had, was it the Big Three? When everybody started the season, like, healthy.
All right, other news. We're moving it on. We got some Canes breaking news. Mark Richt has just announced that Malik Rozier will start against Boston College.
I need time for this one. So
yeah,
just
yeah. So I'm just moving along. To the Dolphins we go. A couple of breaking news stories. The NFL will investigate Miami Dolphins reporting of Ryan Tannehill's injury because they didn't really report it, and all of a sudden he had a missing arm.
They're investigating why?
Yes,
because Brock Osweiler played. What are the Bears complaining?
No, because of their listing, and you know, you have to list injuries and all that stuff.
Well, then they gotta go investigate Belichick. He's doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, seriously.
That's why Belichick puts everyone on the injury list.
It's fake. He's a liar.
Dolphins are cheaters.
Here's the problem.
I don't really mean that.
Here's the problem is that Ryan Tannehill practiced.
Okay, listen. Listen to me. I'm just reporting the news.
No, I understand.
Okay, let me get to it. Tannehill was at practice today, but only handed the ball off, did not throw. And five reasons reported last night that he was going to be out for a while, but did not need surgery. There you go with that. McCain was back in practice today. Cam Wake was back in practice today. There was no Charles Harris. There was no Danny Amendola. There you go with that.
Tannehill is just out there, just dropping back.
Canelo signs a $365 million deal with DAZN, which I don't understand because it's not really good. But I guess it's going to be good because...
$365 million?
11-fight deal.
How many fights?
11. So it's basically a five-year deal.
Let me ask you this question.
Unless
this,
he gets hurt.
This is because, as you told us yesterday, like HBO's out and Showtime's going to be next, right?
That's according to Bob Arum. Bob Arum says Showtime's not going to last.
So this is why. Like, this is why all this is happening?
It's part of it. Just the model is changing. Like, the one thing about Canelo I'm a little surprised by is Canelo's just one of the last bankable pay-per-view guys, and he was the last guy HBO really had. And so they go with DAZN, and the platform's changing, and you now, you know, look, if you really just want to, you can pay $10 a month. You only got to pay $20 to watch Canelo twice this year instead of $150 basically to buy his pay-per-view. So for the boxing fan, it's a good deal.
If they can improve the broadcast, no?
Well, I'm sure they will. I don't want to get too hard.
Well, because keep in mind, once those guys leave HBO and Showtime, they'll be available.
It's not the talent. The talent's great on DAZN. It had nothing to do with the talent.
Who's doing the fights?
The production, the broadcast is all great. I think it was just a bandwidth thing.
No, who's doing the fights there? Who's their main talent?
I think their boxing guy is Brian Kenny, who's good.
All right, that's pretty good.
And Sugar Ray Leonard, who's fine. And then they have Chris Mannix doing like the reporting. He's really good.
Chris Mannix is good. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
No, the broadcast, the whole product is fine.
It was just you couldn't get on.
It was just a matter of like I would get kicked off so in the midst of the broadcast.
So it's like radio.com?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. It's so you know what? I'm sure they'll have a feature and it'll get fixed. I'm sure it will, especially now that you have $365 million invested in Canelo. So what is that? That's 30 million a fight.
Are there ads on that thing?
Nah, not really. Not really.
So
the other good thing about DAZN too is you get the whole card. You know, it's not like you're gonna get two fights.
It's not like the primetime two fights and the whole thing.
No, so that's good. I mean, if you're a boxing nerd, it's fantastic.
Do they have any MMA on there as well or no?
They have Bellator.
Oh, they have Bellator. Okay.
Bellator is the one I had the big issue with because the Bellator was just getting kicked around the card and I was like, because you know, look,
oh yeah, that's the one where you thought you were watching a fight and it was actually like a half an hour behind.
I was like, I follow mixed martial arts. I don't know who the undercard fighters of Bellator are, so I'm like, I'm sitting here waiting for some main players, and they're like, this is the first fight on the card. I'm like, wait, what? It's confused me. Anyway. All right, let's get into this. We'll get into the heat, of course, later on in the show. This is very good news. I got this news today from our boss, Len. We have a pair of opening night tickets to the Miami Heat. So if you still want to go Saturday night and see the Heat,
I'll be there.
Take on Charlotte, I got a pair of tickets to give away before the end of the show. All you got to listen for is Pat Riley being all sexy about the tax threshold. That is our sounder. Robbie, this is not the cue to call, but this is what the sound you will be listening for. So this doesn't count. This is what we call an example. You listen for Pat Riley being pornographic about the tax threshold. That is your cue to call.
That threshold. Threshold.
You listen for that. That is your cue to call for opening night tickets. Okay? Just so we're clear. But when we come back, I want to get into this decision by Mark Richt to start Malik Rozier.
Not to me.
With plenty of time to go before they take on Boston College. We'll be back after this.
It's about to get ugly.
Watch me!
All right, so...
let me ask you a question.
No!
Let me ask you a question.
You realize nobody heard what we said there in the break.
I know. But it doesn't matter. They heard... You know what they heard? I want to punch you in the neck. That's what they heard. Okay. Here's what you need to understand.
Okay.
You look at it... From your standpoint,
what do I look
here's
at?
How I look at it. How hard was it for Mark Richt to go back to a guy who he didn't want playing quarterback in the first place? You know how hard that was? So just imagine how poorly the other quarterbacks have either been performing in practice or in any other game situations.
Can I add something?
Sure.
Last week, It was reported and confirmed Malik Rozier did not take one snap with the first team last week.
Right. You know why? Because N'Kosi Perry probably needs to work, and they were so, we need to see this guy get work in.
No, what happened?
I'm telling you how it works.
This is how it works.
So go ahead.
Our coach has past baggage that he takes into his profession. And because he was never given anything as a backup quarterback under Schnellenberger, he still carries this cross with him into his coaching career. And he doesn't want to just give the reins over to anybody.
Okay. No.
He kicked Brad Kaya out the door.
No, okay.
Malik Rozier.
Did he really kick Brad Kaya out the door?
Kicked him out the door. I don't know if it was a kick. It might have been a little hit on the tuchus.
Brad Kaya had his best season under Mark Richt, by the way.
You mean his junior season? Like when somebody becomes a grown man?
I mean, he did his best compiling.
Look, at this rate, we'll be lucky if anybody sees their junior season under Mark Richt.
Okay. He had more attempts.
Time out. Now, let's get away from your...
There's going to be so many transfers.
Let's go get back to reality. And I don't even know what the situation is, but I kind of have a feeling that N'Kosi Perry is not doing what he needs to do to be on the football field. Now, all that being said, I make you, Mark Richt. You think it's hard to not turn the reins over? How hard is it to give the guy a job who you said probably wouldn't be your quarterback?
That would be called desperate times call
right.
for desperate measures.
So just imagine how bad it is that he not only went to a guy in the beginning of the year that he never thought would be the quarterback, but then went back to that guy.
No,
it's not on Malik Rozier.
But here's
it's
why it's
on
stupid,
all the
Leroy.
Other quarterbacks.
Here's what's stupid about that. Malik Rozier, when you guys were falling apart against Toledo and all those injuries were happening, you won it on Malik Rozier's legs. You go into the next week against Florida State, you give him a couple drives where things look stale, and you decide, you know what, now is the time. Let's make the move over. You give N'Kosi then the start against your rival. He digs his way out of a terrible hole. He shows major onions, makes big-time throws, and then all of a sudden, the leash is shorter than ever against Virginia. Makes no sense.
Here. What you don't know, and neither of us know, is how bad he was playing, okay? Because here, let me explain something. Just here's what you hear in when you watch game film between a coach and a quarterback, between an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, okay? Because all week, what you prepare for, you prepare for certain defenses, what their coverages are, and where you're going to look when a coverage presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Whether it's adjusted routes or whatever. So if a quarterback drops back and there's a coverage and he's looking the wrong way, how can you trust that guy to do the right thing?
How is he allotted a week's time? He's a freshman. How is he allotted a week's time to have the actual responsibility of being a quarterback? How can that fairly be judged?
Here.
How?
Because sometimes when you play on the field, if what you're doing is not even close to what you prepared during the week, you can tell that there's not going to be any success.
Can I? Okay.
You can't. Here's what you can't teach. Here's when you know you're in trouble. That if you have a quarterback and you go into a game and say, okay, if it's cover two, so that means that's two deep, we're going to work this area. If it's cover three, single deep safety, we're going to work this. Okay? That's the game plan all week. You get into the first couple of drives, you see cover two or cover three, and he's looking off somewhere, not what the game plan was, then yeah, he's going to have a short leash.
Big picture wise, here's my concerns. There's two.
So you just stopped us so you could put this in here?
You guys have been.
Okay, go.
Like, let me get in.
Go ahead.
Two aspects to this. One, Mark Richt and his staff recruited N'Kosi Perry.
Okay? That's right.
So they picked him because they thought he could be the guy.
Number three, what? Dual threat?
Whatever. Yes.
It's two spots behind Tua?
Yeah, correct. But the second thing is, now that they got him, it's their responsibility, if they believe that he's the guy, to develop him.
Yeah, I agree.
So, If they're not believing in N'Kosi Perry, or if N'Kosi Perry can't perform in practice enough to get the starting job, if there's issues there, Where did they fail? Did they fail in recruiting him? Did they fail in developing him?
How can they say they failed?
Here.
They gave him four drives against Virginia.
No,
you
no.
can't say that's no, a failure for the kid.
But Tom, you're not understanding.
Guys, you cannot sell me on practice. You can't sell me on that.
Well, what else do you go by? He couldn't beat out Malik in fall and spring in practice.
Hold on, we talk about practice.
Hold on a second.
But that's what they have to go by.
Hold on a second. Okay, one of the things about football that's unlike any other sport is that a coach goes with the guy that he feels is best prepared to play on Sunday or Saturday. Okay? So if you're not putting the work in, if you're not watching the film, or if he doesn't feel that you're prepared to go in the game and perform, even though you may get an opportunity, if it doesn't work out, he goes, this guy's not prepared.
This is why I have a problem with this, though. You guys,
it's always been like this in sports.
I understand, and I'm not saying I get your side of the argument. I get it. The problem is your staple for this is Malik Rozier, who does not take care of the football, who doesn't look like he's prepared in games, who has three plays that he can run, who isn't a guy you're comfortable running the offense with, a guy you said you didn't want to be your quarterback.
So imagine, what are you handing him over to? Imagine how hard it is when you have to give the job to a guy you said all these things about. He was a senior. Maybe you have a problem at the position.
Yeah, you don't have a quarterback.
But at this point right now, you have to go with the best guy of the group. You're telling me right now, and see, I can't say this definitively. You're telling me that N'Kosi Perry is better in leading the Miami Hurricanes than based on what?
Based on what I see in his abilities to get the ball to your best playmakers. Malik can't do that. His best weapons are his legs. But you're talking about getting the ball to Jeff Thomas, getting the ball to Brevin Jordan, getting the ball to your guys who go and make plays.
But he can't do that. How much better, in reality? Like, how much better is N'Kosi Perry at what you're saying than Malik Rozier?
If they're on equal playing field, all right, and one guy is a freshman and the other guy is a senior, and you have five games left to figure out what your program's going to be going forward, what's more beneficial to you?
By the way, Mark Richt says he will carve out times for Perry to play during this game as well.
Oh, swell, Mark. That's worked out great in the past. Thank you, guru. Let us all bow down to you, please.
I'll give them both time to go out there and sling the pill.
Do you know what the standard
third series
rule of quarterback is? If you have two quarterbacks,
you don't have one.
You don't have
one. Yeah, you know what it is?
So just imagine. You know,
and they're not recruiting one this year. So
the pool of players.
Well, but what if Jaren Williams doesn't work out?
That you currently have to lead the Hurricanes are not good enough where you can pick one definitive.
What do you think is going to be the end game of this season?
The end game of the season?
Yeah, what's the point? If you just choked against Virginia, all right, is the point of it? You're not going to get in the playoffs.
Tobin, your answer to everything in any sport is, let's just go with the young guy, or we know what he can do. Let's get it. That doesn't win football games. You're paid as a coach to at least make the best possible decision with what you have.
Leroy, they're two and five over the last seven against Power Five teams.
Right.
Malik Rozier started the majority of that game. And one of those wins was against your rival. Started by N'Kosi.
So let's be clear. Basically what you would do is just ride it out with N'Kosi Perry.
Yes.
Now, and here's the problem that I have with that is that everybody else wants to try something different, and then when it doesn't work, you're pissed off that your team sucks.
Question for you. They didn't even give it a chance. Wait.
Sometimes the mistakes that you make on a football field can be so egregious, you don't get a bunch of chances.
Can I ask you a question? Is this a chance? Like, I'm not on the fire Mark Richt bandwagon. Like, there's people out there that are that's stupid. Okay, Mark Richt is not a fine head coach, but is there a chance that this is a offensive staff can't get right with play calling, game planning, coaching situation?
No.
If Mark Richt were to say, listen, John, you're my kid, you're awesome, but go somewhere else. And Thomas Brown, I know I gave you the title of offensive coordinator so you get more money, but it's not really working. We need a real offensive coordinator who can coach the quarterbacks up and call the plays. That might fix things.
It's not going to do that, though. Like, part of the reason he came here was so he could call plays.
Here's the problem. Well, if you suck at the job and the head coach's job is to win games, then you need to change it the coach.
When he called plays at Florida State and he had, Winkie and Charlie Ward, he seemed to do pretty well.
Yeah, but he was a coordinator. He wasn't the head coach.
When he called the plays at Georgia when he was the head coach and he had David Green, he seemed to do pretty fine.
No Sean Marino.
Here's how I look at the Canes, okay? I'm never going to question why a guy plays or not, okay? Because you guys know as far as the running backs, I wanted the other guy, not DJ Dallas, because I thought he was more explosive.
And you said DJ Dallas was fat.
Right. He's a little poorly.
They both play.
But here's what you need to understand is that you take your players and you try to find what makes them the most successful. Whether it's, for example, say what you want about the Dolphins, them little 2-yard passes are money. They're going to keep running them. So you can complain about quarterbacks not going downfield, but when you got guys that can run after the catch like that, that's what you do.
I understand. Malik stings at those throws, too.
Okay.
How do you know this isn't just a ploy for Boston College? The game's not for another 9 days. Get Boston College prepared for Malik Rozier. Really? And in the third series, you bring in Nicosi Perry, just like you did against FIU.
Right, wait a minute.
Take your text, 67974, the NunezLaw.com text line. You can keep your thoughts. We'll roll on a little bit more with the Canes quarterback talk as Mark Richt decided today that Malik is going to start against Boston College.
He will carve out time.
Then you have nothing to worry about. If Perry comes in and plays, and he plays great, he's going to stay in the game.
So we'll get back to more of this after this. All right, welcome back, guys. Tobin Leroy and Beast here with you on The Ticket. If you guys are just tuning in, a couple things happening with our football teams here today. Ryan Tannehill was out on the practice field, but no reporters saw him throw a football. He just took snaps and dropped back, and that was it.
He did hand off a couple times.
Did hand off, yes. So there's that. And the bigger news so far for today is Mark Richt has announced his start against Boston College. He is going back, tail between his legs, to Malik Rozier. Alleged quarterback guru. That's Mark Richt. Gives Nicosi Perry he gives him 2 games. And then he's out of there.
You guys are overreacting.
How are we overreacting, Robbie?
Malik Rozier might only play 2 series. He might play a quarter. He might play a half. We don't know how the quarterback plan is going to go against Boston College. And if he says Nicosi Perry's going to play, and he goes out there and plays, and he plays well, he's going to stay in the game.
We'll see. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like he couldn't wait to get off that train as fast as he could. Get Perry out of my life is basically what we're doing.
We've already seen this with FIU. Malik Rozier plays the first 2 series. The plan the whole time was to have Nicosi play the third series.
That was the point, to pass the torch. And once the torch is passed, it's not supposed to get passed back. If you pass a torch, you're supposed to let that torch burn. You don't put out the torch and then give that torch to somebody else.
Even if it costs you games?
Yes. Yes.
So you sacrifice the season. To get the guy experience.
It's not going to sacrifice the season. Let me ask you something. Do you think Nicosi Perry was playing to a sacrifice the season level bad? Really? In comparison to how Malik Rozier was playing? Really? That's how you thought? That's what you thought?
To be honest with you, I honestly don't think they have an answer at quarterback. I mean, unless it's Jaren Williams.
Okay, well, put Jaren Williams. He's not in the conversation right now.
Well, that's the problem. It's like, I don't think any of this matters.
He's not in the conversation.
Start Malik, start Nicosi. I don't think. It doesn't matter to me. Either one. I have no feelings either way.
Really?
Yeah.
You have
Yes. Here's my feelings. I don't like the way the offensive staff is set up. I don't like the play calling. And I don't think either guy is right now showing me anything that makes me think that they're special.
Crazy. I mean, you can't see a golden hose when it's right in front of your face.
Yeah, okay, he can throw the football.
You
but
know what?
There's
a lot of guys that can throw the football. Like, why do you think that's all that matters at that position?
Because if I have 2 guys, all right? Neither one of them is seasoned at running a great offense. Give me the dude who has the hose to get to my playmakers, not the guy who throws it.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What if the defense that they're running these plays for is meant to go to a certain guy, and he's not even looking that way. What good is the arm?
Like, making if it's, plays.
You, man.
Jamarcus Russell had a hose.
I can't explain this enough to you, okay? If you can't show or prove to your coaches that you are prepared to go into a football game and use that hose, you are not going to play.
Here's
You're
my,
just
Leroy.
Enough. There's a ton of quarterbacks with great arms that can't play quarterback.
Leroy, this is the arrogance of coaches who think that it's their game preparation more than players making plays.
You know how hard it is to prepare for a football game?
I'm sure it's hard, but you want to know something? Ultimately, it comes down to talent, right? Doesn't it?
Not always. I've seen a lot of talented guys not get on the field because they don't know what to do.
Okay, so you're saying that you could have the best scheme in the world. Savannah State would go have a shot against Miami?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's ridiculous.
Okay, box in. Thank you. Agreed. Sometimes he thinks he's disagreeing.
Wait, Savannah State's like a Division II level.
I don't care. His argument is sometimes scheme can win.
I didn't say that.
You just said that.
I said sometimes just because you have talent, if you're not prepared enough to go play a game, it doesn't mean anything.
Here's what the arrogance is. The arrogance is you thinking that your scheme is going to give somebody more talent or give you more of a chance to win.
No,
when you
it
should
has...
go with the guy with more talent.
No. Tobin, what I'm talking about has nothing to do with scheme. It's basics of playing that position. You have to be able to read defenses. You have to be able to know what part of the field you're going to exploit.
Okay.
And if you drop back
as a
quarterback.
And you think the guy they're going back to does that?
Does it better than Nkosi, evidently.
Really?
So, you're... Wait. So
how many points did he put up against Virginia?
What's your...
Nkosi had zero.
In
four drives.
And he also spotted Virginia 10, so you can argue Nkosi had negative 10 points.
That's not a thing, Robbie. There's no such thing as negative
no,
points.
No, I kind of go in.
There's no such
thing. The one touchdown was the Nkosi return up to like the three-yard line.
If we were to do a plus-minus in football,
but there's
be minus 10.
Hey, guys, but guess what? There's not. That's not a thing.
You know what?
That's not a thing.
No, but we just invented it and you're boxed in.
No, I'm not boxed in because you just made up fiction.
We didn't make up
fiction. There's no such thing as negative points.
Why not?
This is a Jeopardy.
He gave up points.
You're not blocked out of Final Jeopardy having negative points. It's not a thing.
Yes, you are blocked out of Final Jeopardy having negative points. If you don't have points, you don't get go to Final Jeopardy.
You have 100 guys on a football field, and you're getting ready for a season.
Mm-hmm.
How do you determine who plays?
Talent.
So you just go by stars?
Yep.
That's what Larry Coker did. We got Lance Leggett. How did that work out?
Larry Coker won a national championship. Why don't you put some respect on his name? Put some respect on his name. Boxed in again.
Jesus.
Hey, you want to know something? Well, let's talk to a man with some sense. That's Bill Belichick. Now, this Bill Belichick, you know his move. He likes to do that sneaky thing where he talks up the opponent. All right? Talks him up nonstop, almost to a false degree, false insecurity. But somebody stepped over the line today in Bill Belichick's press conference when they were talking about Khalil Mack and trying to put him in the breath of the great Lawrence Taylor. Bill Belichick did not like that.
Bill, you've seen a lot of good pass rushers in your career, starting with Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White. Does Mack sort of rank up there with one of the better ones you've seen?
No, I mean, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. Yeah, I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class, so. You put everybody down below that. That's with a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
Damn. Finally found the button for him.
That was his guy.
He wouldn't even do that for Tom Brady.
No.
He wouldn't even do that for Tom Brady.
He would not defend Brady like that.
Crazy.
Did you do that just to diffuse the tension that was in this room?
I just feel like I'm going in circles and I'm running laps on you guys.
You're losing.
No, I'm smoking you guys in this argument.
You're losing.
Your guys' argument is Malik Rozier. Or Rozier. Changed his name in the middle of his career. Got lost to Pittsburgh.
Here. Sir. Texter from the 786, I feel the same way.
Nunez.com text line.
Tobin makes me want to bash my face into the steering wheel sometimes.
Drive safer.
I would say just let me punch him in the throat.
Better call Carolina Autobody, though, afterwards if you're going to do that.
My man.
So, like, to have this conversation is we're both coming from two different places.
And that's fine.
I'm coming from a place of reality
mm-hmm.
and how things actually are.
You're coming from the scared place.
Scared money, we don't make money.
Hey, can we send you down to UM to do some investigation? You can
I'm
probably sneak into the building.
I'm coming from a place that has been around for a while.
I respect your credentials.
And been in, right?
I respect your credentials.
And you come from a place that just watches on TV.
Just two different philosophies.
You're coming from volleyball ball boy place.
You don't have to pull the I played the game thing. I know what you're sneaky doing right now. You don't have to do that. I understand. I'm just telling you as a philosophy of people. I'm a person of relationships.
Let me get this straight.
And how things are done.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
If you were the coach of the University of Miami, you would start Nicosi Perry
no
and
doubt.
Ride him out.
No doubt in my
mind. And what happens if you go 5-6?
Then we go 5-6.
And then you get fired.
He's not getting fired, bro. No.
I'm saying you would because he's not ready.
Okay.
I'm telling you, just because you saw a pretty pass doesn't mean he's ready
saw
to play quarterback.
A bunch of pretty passes.
Kai
had a lot of pretty passes, too.
You didn't see
you know
a
how
bunch.
That worked out.
Okay, well, you know what? You guys are all just like Mark Richt. There is no perfect quarterback. You're dealing with 19-year-olds. Like, what do you think? He gets no opportunity to try and fail?
Let me ask you a question then. Why, if you're dealing with 19-year-olds, does everybody get so pissed when they lose?
Because they're Canes fans.
And ingrates.
What are you talking about? Why are they upset with you?
What is the ingrate situation?
Hey, welcome to sports. When your team loses, you get upset.
And by the way, the quarterback situation is not the only problem wrong with this team. They have a penchant for committing dumb, unsportsmanlike penalties late in games. They've done it this whole season. And if Tito Adenabo doesn't have that penalty, the Canes get the ball back with 2.5 minutes left.
Well,
the chance to win the game.
Well, look, Lord knows that doesn't fall under coaching, having your team disciplined.
It totally does. I agree.
I mean, like, you know, let's not.
Yeah, Gerald Willis doing the gun thing, giving North Carolina a first down, and that was their only touchdown of the game.
How about this? How about we stop acting like the Canes head coach is Vince Lombardi, like he's God's gift to football, okay? You were runner-up in the SEC year after year after year. There's a reason Georgia is glad you got outrun of town, all right? So I'm just saying. I like Mark Richt. I like his personality. I like his sneaky swag. I like all of that. I just think this is a little weird. It's a little bit of a weird way to run your program, to do this yo-yo effect. And it's something and by the way, something we bashed Randy Shannon about. It's something we weren't happy when it was Kirby Freeman and Kyle Wright. We don't like this yo-yoing of quarterback. You want an establishment of who the guy is. This guy came into this program with the guys that he is a quarterback whisperer. When the hell are those whispers going through to somebody's brain?
You gotta be able to play. Like, you can't make a quarterback out of a guy who's not a quarterback.
But then why do they recruit him?
Then why does he get paid $4 million? Why does he
wait a minute? There's guys getting paid millions of dollars to decide who's a good quarterback from college to the NFL. What do you think the percentages are of high school kids who go to college?
So let me get this straight. You got an establishment of four people. All right. You said one guy was never going to be your quarterback, and yet he led you a 10-0 season, so you're wrong there. And you said another guy was a number three, was ranked two spots behind the Heisman Trophy winner, and yet you give that guy 8 quarters to play football. So who really doesn't know what they're talking about here?
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Who?
How long should a guy play quarterback since you're the coach now? How long before you realize that he's not prepared and he doesn't know.
Behind this trash.
No.
Oh, no.
How long?
I'd at least give him 4 full games. Have to.
And have to.
What's his first road game? His first road start, Leroy. Do you think that's a real fair assessment of the guy? Understanding your thoughts of his preparation all the stuff that he had. Is that a fair assessment of a 19-year-old?
Here's what I would say. I would say that based on the stuff that they've seen outside of the game, when it got to the game and he started doing things the same way as he maybe does things outside, that means in the meeting room and practice and his preparation, you see that he's not ready. Okay,
so how's he supposed to get ready if you're not going to give him the opportunity to fail?
How's he supposed to get ready? You come to the facility and you practice, you prepare, you watch film, you study, you know what the hell you're doing when you get out
there.
And so then your athletic ability takes over.
And so allegedly you think that Malik Rozier is going to do all those things, and yet we're still going to have him go out there and he's going to throw 40%.
Here's what happens, okay? Just like you said, I don't want this guy to be quarterback, but he was 10-0, okay?
And then he wasn't. And then he went on a stink run.
bottom.
And he was throwing 44% against the Power Five.
Question for you.
Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Eventually, the results have to matter.
Right. Sure. The results do have to matter.
Okay. So why are we acting like this guy is some great caretaker of the football? Like he's some great keepsake. You left him for a reason.
He is better than the other guy.
You didn't think that 3 weeks ago. I'm talking to the coach. Things the coach change. Didn't think that 3 weeks ago.
Things change. What? Things change. If what? You feel a certain way, wait a minute.
What changed?
You're talking about a guy who on Tuesday loves a basketball player, and on Friday you want to
trade
him.
You're lashing out. See, this lashing out. You're going into another sport, and you're lashing out.
No, this you can change. This you can happens. Change how you
this,
feel
this
about
what happens
players.
When you get boxed in. You lash out to other categories.
I lash out to other categories.
You do.
Really?
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. When did all of a sudden 19 matter?
What do you mean?
We don't... Nobody cares when they watch a football game how old the kid is.
Really?
Wait. You think the fans, when Nicosi Perry starts throwing it all over the place, they go, don't worry, he's 19.
There's not a difference?
No. All I want is the best guy to help me win the football game if I'm a fan of that team.
But there's not a difference if a guy stinks at 23 as opposed to him stinking at 19? Like, there's not a ceiling there?
Oh, so you're saying... Even though he stinks at 19, if you give him more time, he'll work his way out of it?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Really, right. No one's ever improved in your entire landscape of watching sports.
At that position, usually a quarterback will show signs or show... Here's what they show first, and this is all honest. A quarterback will show first that he can handle the offense, that he can put his team in the right position to succeed. Then after that, it's all about performing. And the way that goes, it goes through preparation. It goes through where your coach can have an explanation or a conversation with you when you come to the sideline. Hey, what were you looking at? Oh, the safety came over. I tried to squeeze it in between. Blah, blah, blah. Those conversations. Okay? You know that, hey, my guy's in the right spot. Let's keep going.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So over 3 weeks, not even two games, he's able to establish, okay, he really doesn't know what he's doing, even though he went out and won.
Wait a minute. You went out and won.
Won against Florida State. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Made the offense actually hum against FIU. And then had a little bit of a hiccup against Virginia. And he said, I was right all along. Dude sucks.
No. Maybe all that stuff was just catching up to him.
Okay.
That the coaches...
Very convenient.
What do you mean convenient?
No, it's very convenient.
You see a guy on Saturday.
You know what we call that? Here's what we call that. Confirmation bias on Mark Richt's part.
Here's what we call that.
Confirmation bias.
You see a guy on Saturday...
It's like the political landscape
these
days.
You see a guy on Saturday from 1-3 or 1-4, and you've determined what he can and can't do.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the guys that you're paying $4 million that see him every day... Who have made the decision
has tapped out. He's tapped out. We're back after this.